Today's broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota, from the Sunday service of February 11th, 2018. Our radio broadcast is brought to you by Bob and Audrey Johnson in memory of Jesse. Thank you for your sponsorship.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Holy Trinity Lutheran Church this morning on this wonderful sunny day. It is good to be gathered in worship this morning. A special welcome to guests and visitors, a few family and friends. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. Let's stand and let's join together in worship this morning. Out the heavens, who sends light to the nations, who gives breath to us all. Amen. Now let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Pausing for a moment of silent reflection. Loving God,
we confess that we have turned from your ways to follow our own ways. Show us how we need your grace, forgiveness, and love. Turn us around and give us a fresh start, so that we can live renewed as your children. Amen.
Even when we have done wrong, God makes us right. Even when we have messed up, God puts us together. God's love never runs out. God never tires of calling us beloved children. So hear God say to you now, your sins are forgiven for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Let us join together in our prayer of the day.
Almighty God, the radiant light of your truth shines from the mountaintop into our hearts. May your presence shine on us and illumine the world with your image. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated as we hear our special music for today.
Testament reading is from 2 Kings, the second chapter. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you? And he said, Yes, I know. Keep silent. Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he said, As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you? And he answered, Yes, I know. Be silent. Then Elijah said to him, Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. But he said, As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went, and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up, and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other, until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you. Elisha said, Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit. He responded, You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not. As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended into whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them into pieces. Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is from 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, Let light shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God. Please stand. Gospel is from Mark, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And then Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. But then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. And suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. All right, here we go. Time for a little Bible study today. So here at Holy Trinity, once in a while, we pull out our Bibles. And so I want to encourage you to take your Bible. And what we're going to do is we're going to do a big Bible study today for our sermon, okay? So I'm going to invite you to turn to our story, which is in Mark. It's a gospel. Mark, and we're going to actually start at chapter 1 for a second. So Mark, it's page 812. And if you're seated right here, you might want to get a spot where you can see the whiteboard a little bit better, if you want to. Otherwise, you can imagine it. That's just fine. So Matthew, Mark, page 812. And I want to do a quick little review. So if you've been here sometime in the past month or so, since the beginning of the year, I want to know, and if you want to look at the Bible, what are some stories that we've heard starting at the beginning of the year up until last week? What are some stories of Jesus as he... What's the first story? What's the first story of Jesus? What happened with Jesus? First story. Baptism. Yeah, baptism. Great. So baptism. And then what are some other stories we've heard about with Jesus in this month of January? Temptation. That was right after baptism, wasn't it? Temptation. And just shout them out. What else do we hear? Called the disciples. Yep. Called disciples. All right, what else? Healing, yeah. Healing stories, even an exorcism story, right? All right, that's a crazy one. Okay, so today, our story, this transfiguration story, comes from Mark chapter 9. I'm going to put that up here, but there's a number of things that happen between our healing stories from the past couple of weeks in chapter 1 and chapter 9. So just page through between chapter 1 and chapter 9, and what are some headlines? What are some key stories, some important stories between here and here? What do you see? Feeding the 5,000, yeah. What else do you see? More healings, yeah. What else do you see? Parables, he's teaching, right? Parables, he's teaching. And he's gaining notoriety as he's teaching, right? What else do we have between chapter 1 and chapter 9? What are some headlines? John the Baptist dies, yeah, that's a crazy story. Rejection. Ah, yes, he's rejected his hometown. So, and John the Baptist dies. And I missed a couple in there while we were calming the storm. Yeah, calming the storm. Walks on water. So, and then there's one little blurb about him predicting something right before chapter 9. What's that part? He's predicting his death. Okay, so we'll put this preview of the cross. So all these stories are leading up to this transfiguration story today. They're building up. Jesus is gaining notoriety. People are learning about him, and people are seeing one miracle after another miracle after another miracle. And then we get today's story, which is the eye-opening experience of all eye-opening experiences. And then, let's start paging ahead. What comes afterwards? What else do we see? What comes after chapter 9? What are some of the next pieces? Like immediately after there's this, once again, he foretells what's coming up, right? So there's this preview, then there's this review that, remember, we got the cross coming up. And then what else do we see? What are some things right afterwards? Another exorcism. So healing, exorcisms. What's that? Tempted again. All right, what else we got? Ah, blessing little children. Teaching about divorce. And then he's got lessons on money, right? He's got the money lessons. All right, and then coming up pretty soon, yeah, he foretells the death, the resurrection again, okay? And then page 4 to Palm Sunday, right? Do you see that one coming up? I forget what chapter that is. Is that 11? Okay, so Palm Sunday, I'm going to put that here, where he rides in on a donkey, on a colt, people are excited, and then what happens after that? What do we see? Authority questioned, yep. This is good. I'm making you page. Just hitting the headlines. What else do we see? His authority's question. This is chapter 9, 10, 11, 12. We've got some more teachings, right? And how about, let's see, 14, chapter 14, plot to kill him, right? Passover, which is the Last Supper. What's that? Denial. Yep, the betrayal, the denial. And then we get down to the crucifixion, right? His death, yeah. Okay, so this is Mark, and a little bit of a Bible story for us today. And what I want to do is just say a couple things about this diagram we have here today. What we have is a mountaintop experience for Jesus, where Jesus is at the top of a mountain. He had been gaining steam. He had been gaining notoriety. People were coming to him for healings upon healings. He was teaching and teaching. He was
performing miracles upon miracles. And right before this experience, he says, something else is going to come. Something else is going to come. But today, on top of this mountain, he shines radiantly, brighter than even bleach, as he's transfigured before them. It's a remarkable story. So let's just open up to that. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. So let's read together, starting in verse 2. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth can bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. It's a remarkable story here. And I got a question for you. If you can think of a time in your life where you have had a mountaintop, maybe it's in your life, maybe it's in your faith, maybe there's been some moment in your life where you've had an experience where you felt like you're on top of the world. Maybe in your life of faith you can think of a turning point, something in your life that really, that opened your eyes to the glory of God. Maybe it was powerful worship service, maybe it was Billy Graham crusade back in the day, maybe it was like a camp experience, or some sort of experience where you thought, boy, this is mountaintop. I'm feeling close to God right now. Well, if you look, that's what Peter felt in our story for today. Peter was like, this is remarkable. Peter said, it is good for us to be here. I like this mountaintop experience right here. Peter said, actually, how about if we stay a while? I think we could put up a tent, one for Elijah, one for Moses, one for you, Jesus. We can stay right here for a while. Peter liked that mountaintop experience, and I don't blame him. In fact, I actually think a lot of churches and a lot of Christians try to base their faith off of forming and reforming mountaintop experiences, be it spiritual highs, eye-opening experiences. A lot of people feel like when they have those, that's when they know they're in the presence of God. And what happens is once we have those experiences, a couple things can happen. One, we start to come back down the mountain, realizing that down the mountain, things aren't quite like they were at the top of the mountain, so I want to go back up. I want to go back. And so we try to crawl back and try to recreate that experience as much as we can. Or something happens when we come down the mountain and find that actually life down here, where there's things that we don't think should be in our lives after our faith comes to fruition, what happens when we encounter these things? Well, if God was real, maybe God isn't real, because this doesn't look like it did up there. And if that's faith, well, then maybe there isn't a God after all. We can start to question things. But I want to say today that for Jesus, what we see is as Jesus was gaining notoriety, and he was healing and doing these wonderful things, feeding 5,000, feeding 4,000 is another one. He was calming the storm. He was walking on water. Once he got to this spot where it was the most eye-opening experience yet, the most miraculous experience yet, our gospel doesn't stop there. Our gospel doesn't stop there. Peter wanted it to. Peter wanted it to stop at the top. But our gospel, if we look to verse 9, it says they came down the mountain. And for Jesus, the mission was just beginning. Jesus said, we got work to do. We got things that need to be addressed. We've got things I need to do. I'm not staying up here. I'm coming down. Even though Peter wanted to stay up there. And so I think in a life of faith, our faith is less about trying to create these experiences, even though those can be powerful. But if we're going to be Jesus' followers, disciples, we got to follow Jesus down the mountain into this real world muck. The discouragements, the challenges, the struggles and the discomforts down in the real world, down the mountain as well. So second thing I want to say today is that in the Gospel of Mark, the literary arc of the story of the Gospel goes like this. This is the literary arc. This is the narrative of the Gospel. This is the high point. This is the climax. And that's also our liturgical turning point too. Because this story, this transfiguration story, always comes the Sunday before Ash Wednesday. So in January, we hear miracle stories. We hear wonderful stories in the season of Epiphany, of our eyes being opened, God manifesting God's self, God's light radiating the world through these wonderful stories. And then we get to this right before Lent, and we get this turning point. This turning point that follows the gospel back down the mountain. Back down the mountain into our lives. So the last thing I want to say today is that in our passage, Jesus is told a few words from God. What are those words from God today? If you look in chapter 9, what does God say? A voice from the cloud came and said in verse 7, "This is my Son, the Beloved." Right? God's Son. "This is my Son, the Beloved." If you've been in worship past month or so, does that ring a bell? Have you heard that said somewhere else? When God said from a cloud, "This is my Son, the Beloved." Baptism. Great. Yep. So right here at the beginning, God said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I'm well pleased." That started Jesus' ministry. And today we hear those words again, so it rings a little bell in our heads. But what I find interesting is if we think back, I'll encourage us to think back to when Jesus was baptized, God said, "This is my Son, the Beloved," except right after, where did Jesus go? Right after his baptism, Jesus went into the wilderness, right into temptation. And it was because he knew that he was God's Son that he was called into mission. So think with me back to this. God didn't say, "You're my Son," and then protect him from harm's way. God didn't hold him and say, "Okay, now I've got you. I'm not letting you go ever again." When God said, "This is my Son, and I love him," that became his foundation for entering the wilderness. That became his foundation for entering the challenges, the struggles, and the temptations of life. These words commissioned him into ministry. So today, we hear those same words. "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." And once again, when God says these words at this glorious moment, we would anticipate that after all this road, God would take Jesus, hold him in his arms, and say, "I'm keeping you out of harm's way. I am protecting you from this point on." But that's not what happened. Once again, after hearing these words, Jesus went into the wilderness, if you will. Went into temptation, if you will. Went into the challenges of life. Down the mountain, into the struggle, into talking about divorce, into talking about money, into temptations, into healing, into exorcisms. This word from God saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved," commissioned Jesus into ministry once again, just like it did at the beginning. This is what these words. But I want to tell you this. Jesus is named God's Son three times in this Gospel of Mark. The first at baptism, the second at transfiguration, and the third, I'm going to have you go to one more spot. Mark chapter 15. Thanks for hanging with me here with the page turning. Verse 33. It says, "When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And when some of the bystanders heard it, they said, 'Listen, he's calling for Elijah.' And someone ran, filled the sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, 'Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down, whether Elijah will appear like last time.' But then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, 'Truly, this man was God's Son.'" So think with me about these other two times we heard these words. God didn't say these words and then take Jesus into his everlasting arms and protect him from harm's way. These words are not the end. In fact, when these words are said, they mark the beginning of Jesus' ministry. They mark the beginning of Jesus being commissioned into ministry. And friends, when we hear these words at the end of the story, chapter 15, the Easter story, says that these words said by the centurion are not the end either. They are, in fact, the beginning of Jesus entering into a new wilderness, the beginning of Jesus coming down the mountain, the beginning of Jesus descending to the dead, but on the third day, rising again. For the mission of Jesus was not yet done. These words are not the end. It was just the beginning of Jesus coming to us, coming into our struggles, our temptations, our challenges, our need for healing, our suffering stories, so that we are never alone. So welcome to the journey. The journey we begin today as we transition from Epiphany to Lent. And while we sometimes may want to do what Peter wanted to do and stay atop the mountain and put up a tent, say, let's stay here a while, we're going to follow Jesus back down the mountain into our real lives, where we hold an earthly promise from God that we are not alone when we get down here in the valleys of life. For Jesus didn't stay perched atop the mountain out of reach from us. Jesus came down the mountain to be with us. But we also hold on to this eternal promise that because of the death and resurrection of his Son, God turns our last breaths into new journeys, where we find ourselves once again walking with Jesus evermore. And for that we say thanks be to God. Amen. Emmanuel, God, you promised to be with us both in the hills and the valleys. We pray for those who are experiencing valley moments today, for those affected by the flu, those preparing for or recuperating from surgery, and for those who grieve the loss of loved ones. And God of the cross, as we turn the corner into Lent, we know the coming story of your crucifixion. Guide us deeper into faith this Lent as we read the devotionals of friends and worship together as a congregation. Lord, in your mercy. And God, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So as you go on your way today, be comforted in knowing that Christ goes with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you watching over you, and within you to give you peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.